Hello and welcome to our fostering podcast. I'm Angela Hunt, one of the founders of To the Moon and Back Foster Care. There are around 44,000 foster families in England, and it's estimated that 9,500 families will be needed over the next 12 months across the UK to meet the increasing demand for children and young people to live with a family because they're unable to live with their own families for a variety of reasons. I am delighted to welcome and introduce Claire. Claire's one of our foster carers who's worked with the agency since 2018. That's flown, Claire.
Yeah, it really has.
Must be the great times that you have.
Yes.
What we probably should say is that Claire is also a mum of three children of her own, as well as a foster mum to two children at the moment.
Yes.
But you've had a few children come and go into your home and work with your family over the years.
Yes, we have. Like, it's been 4 years now, and it all been positive leaves I had as well, like necessary and positive, and been worked through. So that's always reassuring to us as a family in general. And the fact that we're actually still in touch with the children that have kind of left our placement, and that relationship's continued, which is lovely, because you do get attached to the children that are in your home as family.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you're so good at what you do, Claire. I mean, I'm delighted that you're giving some time today to share your perspective of what it's like to foster with children of your own. And, you know, I think up until fairly recently, I was having conversations with people who were considering fostering, but actually didn't think they could foster when they had their own children. So, you know, we're saying that's a misconception. You absolutely can. You're walking proof of that and doing it.
I think it's really important just to let everyone know that the team that's built around us and you know, the Moon and Back have that supportive nature and the friendly nature that they have to make you feel that you have got the time to think about who you're having in your home and who's going to work out with your children. So that's been very important from the beginning, and I think they've given us that standing from the onset, which has allowed us to kind of go forward and enjoy those placements that we have, and obviously one of even 4 years now that's going to continue right into 18. And even presently with a recent teenager, which everyone likes to avoid, has now been with us as long as a year. And that's also been doable with our three lads. And he's also a lad as well. So you could imagine what friction that may cause. So
you clearly handle it really well.
Yeah.
It's a balance. Plus, I should say, you've got numerous pets as well. I was going to say, I mean, in respect to kind of thinking about when you were first considering fostering, I think a lot of our listeners might be keen to hear what you thought about when you were thinking how fostering might work with your three children, and bearing in mind that your youngest at that time was kind of two, if I recall rightly.
Yeah, I think that was our biggest concern, is the fact that he was two and he was our baby of three. So you can't deny it without thinking that there may be some damage that might be caused by bringing in other personalities into your home. And I think nobody really understands that once that child's in your home, they become part of that family, and you have to make it that, because it doesn't work unless you treat them as your own. And that can be very hard for the other children. That can be a bit challenging at times. And I think it's really important to talk to your children about that. And I think the biggest thing for me was, and which drove us to actually do this in the end, was to have a good chat to our children and see how they felt about it. And tell them that these children haven't had the opportunities that we have and the life they've had in support or love or care. And I can't go into the endless list of how that can be different in a lot of children as how what lives they've lived before. But I think it's important that with my children, they saw a whole different way of living. They have a caring, supportive, safe home here. And I think for the future, when my children leave home, or even presently, two of my children have said they've been able to help other people through their problems, you know, a sad child at school, or someone that's getting upset about their home life. And my children have honestly and openly said that they, because they've lived this life with these other children, they're able to understand it more and to grow as individuals. And that's been that's prepared them before time to work into a work placement where you've got someone that's possibly not having the best of times, and be able to work with those different personalities.
Claire, that's great. So you obviously see an awful lot of positives for your children.
Yes.
With fostering. I mean, I can see, you know, from what you're talking about, it's clearly enabled them to become the potential of much more rounded adults when they grow up, and also maintaining that curiosity. I mean, I obviously, I've met your children, and they always strike me as being extremely caring and very thoughtful, and also very mindful, I think, of what's going on. And any of the conversations that I had with them, there was always a mindfulness that these children had been exposed, that you foster had been exposed to things that, you know, thankfully they've never been exposed to. And there's a general empathy, which is great to hear. I mean, just thinking about it, where have you potentially had the challenges, perhaps? What kind of challenges do you feel like you've had to overcome by having your own children?
Well, I think there's been a few struggles, and there always is. I mean, in any family, I think what you've got to realise, rather than give up in the first 6 months or 7 months, is that every family always has a challenge in it anyway, whether that be a parent, a grandparent, or another child. And because of the growth, and because they're going through different development stages, I think we don't take into account that we've got the normal stuff going on. I mean, my two older boys always used to argue and tussle about stuff anyway, so that's normality for me. I think a couple of the challenges have been, we do have, I do have my 7-year-old and my 9-year-old, and my 9-year-old girl that's been with us 4 years. Without sounding, you know, like I'm putting her down in any way, but I'm not, but she does struggle with her work at school, and she does struggle to relate to normal humour, and she finds that really difficult. And that was due to the fact that she was born to a mum who was a drug addict, so her mental state is a lot slower. So we've really had some challenging effect of Rowan's growing up now, my little lad, and he wonders why she's just not getting it. And he can be a bit nasty at times about that. So we've really had to explain to him that he's got to accept that in her and move forward, and just understand that though the growth is different of intelligence, or what's going on in her life, and then
that
also
emotional, that kind of emotional need is different,
and also support my 9-year-old in the fact that she's quite capable of doing other stuff. She doesn't have to be like that, that she's got the capabilities of being a very good carer, somebody that does everything practically rather than mentally. Yeah. So that's been quite a challenge, because there's been a clash there. And obviously about a year ago, it will be a year March, we took on a 14-year-old, when I've already got a 13-year-old. So he might have felt that he was the oldest in the home, but now we've got another old boy, and he was a little bit shifty about that and was worried about his position in the family. But he knows he's the eldest with us, and obviously the other lad is. But not only that, with the eldest lad we have got, he acts a lot younger. So my other boy of 12, he clashed quite a lot with him. Yeah. And they had quite a lot of rivalry go on, and Raz, and he used to say to me at night, you know, well, why are we putting up with this, and why is this going the way it is? But I used to explain to the children that even if you were all right with these children, at some point my birth children would clash. They would have hormonal times.
Ordinary sibling rivalry is going to be existing as they grow up.
The problem is with foster children is it always is more extreme. And they always react in a totally different way to what my children do. And they always need to be treated a little bit differently. So then I had the clash of, well, why are you treating him differently than Mark? Yes. You know, why are you doing that? And then I had to explain that we have to do that because, you know, these children have been hurt in the past. And if I was to act like I act with you, then they would have real bad reactions and that would make them feel really insecure and upset. So those were the challenges, is I used to have to battle with my children and obviously the foster children and bring that together as a whole, because you always have to bring them back together. And what I always find is if you are in a large family, it's really important to always sit down at dinner together every single day. And we always have a meeting at the weekend, and it's called our family meeting, where anyone can say anything they like, or they can bring up all their positives through the week. So I always end up with them bringing up their problems, like, he's not done the contributions, she's not been nice to me this week, he swore at me the other day, and we get all that out, and then we all say about what has actually happened this week that's been really positive and really happy in the family. And why don't we just concentrate on the fact that we're all here living this life?
Yeah.
And I think my children always, I always say to my children quietly and privately, is you're doing a really good job. You're giving a child this life.
Yeah.
And some people never get a chance to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Claire, I mean, I think the techniques that you use, I mean, seeing you as a foster carer is a lesson in how to be a foster carer, because your openness and ability to communicate with all children is evident. And you know, when we're looking for people who might be considering fostering, we say, you know, it's important that you understand that the children that come into foster care have experienced neglect, abuse. They won't have had the opportunities that a lot of children have, and that we have to kind of, in some ways, not necessarily overthink it, but we need to be really empathetic about it, so that we can enable, just from a parent point of view, enable them to have a good experience and reach their potentials in life. But also when you're having to convey that to your own children as well, which is what you've just been talking about, it's almost about bringing humanity into your children. And as you said, you're doing that at a much earlier age than most children would be exposed to that or be thinking about it, because they wouldn't ordinarily have to be thinking about it until they start to have closer relationships with other people, which tends to come in an older time. And you're bringing it to them much earlier, aren't you? Which, I don't know, brings a wisdom. It brings a wisdom to them. I can see it when I'm with your kids. There's definitely some sort of, there is a wisdom. They are fantastic.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's times when, I mean, all mums go through this, where you like literally wonder whether you've done the best job at night, and you've cried and you've laughed and you've got angry. And I always feel as well that they need to see that you're not perfect. But I think the most important thing for, I think this goes for all children, but particularly for foster children, they have seen me say like, this, I can't tolerate this. You can't, this is unacceptable, blah. You always, if you do feel that you've ever got anything wrong, or you might have just raised your voice a bit, or you might have lost it a bit, that you always sit down with them and just say you're sorry, apologise, and say it's only because I care. Yeah. That this is why you'll see this in me. I will never get angry to hurt or upset you. It's my own frustration with what's gone on. And I think, you know, a lot of people think that they can't talk to foster children like that, but they're more streetwise than anyone. Yeah. So for them to hear a parent apologize, or to see how I act, when something goes wrong between my children and then do the same with them, it makes them feel normal. It makes them feel loved.
That's the role modelling, isn't it? That's, you know, especially where you've got children who have come into fostering, where their exposure to the family life is often very different to how most of us parent. And as a consequence, they are almost expecting some of that and might be hypervigilant about people shouting or, you know, violence in a family, for example, where there's domestic violence, they've experienced that. So when you as a foster carer can actually say, well, there's other ways of sorting it out. And, you know, today I'm a little bit, you know, my temper's a bit short, but this is why, and I'm really sorry, and this is how we move it forward. Then they can see there's a different way. And you're quite right. I think the, you know, with any, I mean, we look at the way your family is, for example. It's a large family, you know. In effect, you've got, you know, five children in your family. That's a large family by any standards, that you have to work it slightly differently. And you're always going to have, with any large family with five children, there's going to be interrelational stuff that you have to talk about and, I don't know, facilitate so that there's a positive outcome. So it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is not that dissimilar to having a family of five, just happens that two of them are foster children. And they work really well. I think one of the key things that I've always thought about, and when we first started the agency, you know, we've worked particularly hard on ensuring that we match really well with foster carers, particularly where they've got children of their own as well. It becomes even more paramount. How have you found that process when we've been looking at referrals and thinking about
matching?
I think
that's been, without sounding like this isn't planned, anybody who's listening, it has actually been perfect. I mean, we're always given, we talk, we get chance to read through, we get chance to talk about how the matching will work and why it will work. We get chance to not be rushed. We're never put under pressure to make a decision. I think really the only time when I've ever seen anybody feel that way is because they've made their own mistake. It's not actually been the moon and back. And let's not forget that the agency and that aren't wholly responsible for you to accept a child. You accept a child with what information you're given. And that might not even turn out how you will ever dream it to be, but it's as close as it can be to what they think's going to work. And it is literally, a lot of it is up to you to make it work. And just so you know, it took 12 months to fight the authorities for kind of mental health for one of our children. I mean, that's nothing, you wouldn't do any less for your own child. You would still do the same. So, and we've even sat, my husband and I, and said, that's it, we're done. Oh my God, this is just so stressful. I can't do this anymore. And then we've spoke to our children and said, well, how are you finding it? Well, I'm fed up of so-and-so. He keeps doing this and shit. And then we say, well, right, well, we probably can't do this anymore. And they go, no, we can. or someone will call out the woods and go, of course we can. Look what we've done for people. Look what we've done here. What are you talking about, Mum? What are you talking about, Dad? Or Malachi, why are you saying that? And it's almost like, even if two are kind of thinking that way, it's for a short term. And I think that's healthy to express all of that. Yeah. Because, you know, we'd be stupid to say, this is an easy journey, but I can honestly say this has been my best journey.
Oh,
and the journey that I've had with the moon and back, and the journey I've had with the children, has made me into the person I am today, even more than I thought I ever would be. Oh, so
that's great, Claire. I mean, you do a sterling job, and you do have an absolutely amazing quality that you can work. You can work in a way that it's quite a gift, that you work in a way that enables children to be who they really are, which is amazing. I mean, I was going to say that there's also the bit of the agency's kind of responsibility, you know, any fostering agency, but I mean, we do take it really seriously that it's our job to make sure that you as a family unit are in a good place. Yeah. So there's, you know, the monthly supervisions. We know that you've got contact all the time with Lisa, your supervising social worker, and that there's always a watchful eye, you know, to make sure that, because there'll be days perhaps when you don't realise if you're not feeling great, and we can go, are you all right today? You might say, oh, thanks, charming, I thought I looked all right today. But there's that bit of, you know, how do we have to be seeing that for your children's benefit, because we don't want your children to be suffering in any way as a result. So there's a backstop. So you see it, and we know that Andrew sees it, but there's also a backstop for us that we have to look for it as well, and to ensure that everything's going really well. And I think that team element is, it comes from having a good relationship. So we can say when we're not in a good place, because, you know, sometimes you might not be, and we you have to be able to say it and feel safe to say it. And that's important for all of us. I think that's part of the relational way that we work. Have you got, just thinking about going forward, I mean, if we've got people who are out there now who are listening to this and thinking, oh, you know, Claire sounds great and she's making it all sound like we can do it, with our children in particular, have you got any top tips of what they should look for perhaps in a fostering agency when they've got children of their own? What kind of things should they be asking about? What, I mean, you actually, I remember when you applied, you interviewed
well,
us.
I was just about to say, like, I think the way I applied says it all, really. It is, I rang around a lot of people and did a questionnaire, and my questionnaire kind of with the questions we needed answering, and the people that said and did the right things were the people that we went for, and we got it down to two people, and then we met them, and then it was you guys. Because I think the biggest thing I found with that is you've got your professional, but you have the empathy to do that so well. And a lot of places and a lot of, and now knowing it 4 years on and speaking to other people that have left agencies or gone into the authorities, I know all that because I've obviously looked into it myself, you know. Yes. I think what kind of stands out for me is how you can reach out and something will be done, and it won't only be done with empathy, it will be done professionally. Because I think some people are very professional but don't have the empathy, and then some people have too much empathy and don't do the profession. So it's like you're looking for that really. And I think that's when we did the questionnaire and we found that to all be answered, and we've given it a lot of thought. So, and that's why I'm still here today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I just remember, you know, the sort of we want to know about this, and it was like, yeah, of course you do. And I mean, I know on the back of some of the work that you did in trying to identify whether we were a good fit for you, we developed a guide to say this is what you should be looking at, because we genuinely realized from your side rather than our side what kind of questions you need to be asking. So it's we definitely got something out of working with you and being put through that.
I think some of the things people should be asking anyone they're going for is like, who's going to be there? Because when I need someone, you know, because it's not always at a time when you'd expect it. And what's going to be done after then to kind of rectify it, and also, you know, who you can go to for a bit of advice. I mean, I do get a lot of your advice if you look it up, but there's nothing like a voice on the end of the phone with the wealth of experience the company's got. So I think that's a big thing for me, is it's not just people that have done this, it's people that have also worked in a lot of areas that evolve these children. They've been social workers a long time, they've been involved in other areas. So I think having a team that, if you don't know, someone else knows, if someone else don't know, someone else knows, and I think that's quite reassuring.
Absolutely. Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah,
Claire, it's whizzed by. I mean, I think you've shared an awful lot of you know, your kind of your journey for sure. And it's good to hear that, you know, it's been so positive and that your children are still so positive about the excellent work that they do. You know, we don't underestimate the support that a lot of children coming into fostering get from the birth family's children, because it's, I think, you know, I remember working with you when we were bringing a new person into your home, and it sticks in my mind, and it was an older person, and went straight to the youngest member of the family and started reading a book, and it was like, almost, I'm all right because I can come and help the younger member of the family, and settled. And I think, because I think children are a really good leveler for other children coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always say about pets being therapeutic, and think having other children in the home can be a great help. And where we know that, you know, referrals might suggest, for example, that they can't be with other children, well, that referral's not pursued because it's not a good match for people with children. So, you know, as an agency, you know, both Alison and myself, as founders of the organisation, we work within the agency. We want to be able to sleep at night knowing everybody's safe and in a good place. And
yeah,
therefore, we don't take risks. We certainly don't take risks with other children in the house, knowing
we've never done that.
Yeah, we work together on that. We've come to our end today, so it's been absolutely wonderful to chat to you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing everything. It means a lot. And no doubt there'll be other things that you'll probably be able to come and chat to everybody about as well, given the amount of experience you've developed over the last 4 and a bit years. Have a good evening anyway. Take care of yourself.
And you, Angela, bye.
See you, bye-bye. Tiffin Moon and Back Foster Care operates across Cambridgeshire, Peterborough, Norfolk, Hertfordshire and Essex. If you'd like to know more about fostering, then please get in touch via our website to themoonandbackfostercare.com. Alternatively, give us a call on 01223 800 420. Thank you.